Terry, good morning.
Good morning, Sean.
Absolute pleasure to get you back on the program this morning.
Nice to be here.
What do you think might have spurred this apparent shift in Cohen's allegiances?
Well, as you pointed out, back in April, Cohen's home was raided and thousands of documents. I saw one report said millions, but I find that hard to believe, were taken away by the Department of Justice. And it's pretty clear that he's under investigation for a number of things, including possible tax and corporate fraud, apparently, but also his role in relation to the payment of hush money, allegedly, to a porn actress called Stormy Daniels, better known, actually called Stephanie Clifford, but Stormy Daniels sounds a bit more showbiz, doesn't it? But where he brokered a $130,000 payment to this porn actress in return for her silence around allegations that she was having or did have a relationship with Donald Trump way before he became president. And really, the thing about Cohen is that he has been Trump's personal fixer, either as a senior vice president in the Trump organization or since he became president as a private lawyer. And the question then is like Watergate, what did Cohen know and when did he know it? And as far as the president goes, exactly the same question. And you could actually liken Michael Cohen, Sean, to John Dean, who was Richard Nixon's lawyer who decided to become a canary and spill the beans on Watergate.
You know, there's been a lot of controversy about the direction of the Mueller investigation. The first and foremost, drive of the Mueller investigation was to find links between Trump and, Russians, the Russian government. And yet we do see the investigation widening in scope in quite a few areas and leaning perhaps quite heavily on some of the individuals that were close to Trump. We've seen, as we say, Michael Cohen, personal lawyer responsible for these payments and probably a little bit of extra dirty laundry previously. And we've seen Paul Manafort, the former campaign manager. He's now in prison on other charges of witness tampering.
That's right.
What do you make of the direction the investigation has taken, so many different avenues that they've undertaken to sort of wean their way towards Donald Trump?
Well, certainly, without being an insider on the Mueller investigation, it's clear that it's not going away, and they are digging rather diligently in terms of finding as much dirt as they can. What dirt that is, they're not making clear, except for the occasional outbursts of charging dealing with particularly people like Paul Manafort, for instance. But again, his offences and what he has gone to prison for do not relate to the Trump presidency, do not relate to the Trump campaign. So it is actually very hard to sort of see absolutely where this is going. But ultimately, again, like what happened with Kenneth Starr, I think with the allegations against Bill Clinton, not around Monica Lewinsky. It's whether the Congress itself, if it gets any recommendations about the president's conduct from the Mueller investigation, what it does with them. And while there are Republican majorities in both houses of Congress, I don't think very much will happen at all. But should the midterm elections throw up a majority in either the House of Reps or the Senate in the Congress, I think there might be quite a different situation. And though really you need control of both houses of Congress to conduct an impeachment process in the United States.
I might circle back to that one in just a moment, Terry. But first off, Donald Trump and the Trump administration haven't been particularly shy about hitting back against people they perceive have wronged them in some way, certainly those that have criticized them in some way. I don't believe we've seen a response yet from Donald Trump on this sort of revelation from Michael Cohen. But how do you believe Donald Trump might be responding?
Well, certainly the comments that Cohen made to George Stephanopoulos, who was Bill Clinton's press secretary, is now a political presenter on American television, about his first loyalty to his family and the country, say that his first loyalty is no longer to Donald Trump, and that would obviously resonate in the White House. However, when Cohen's home was raided back in April, the president actually tweeted very strongly in support of how wonderful his family is. And my sense is there probably is a strong sense of personal loyalty there, not just because he likes the bloke, but also because he knows that as the Trump fixer, that Michael Cohen has a lot of secrets that he could actually dish if, or and dirt he can dish if he's rubbed up the wrong way. But my sense at the moment is that Trump is actually erring on the side of silence in relation to this, and that if I was advising him as a political advisor, is exactly what I would be saying to him.
And just getting your insight as a political advisor, you mentioned their impeachment and the spectre of the 2018 midterms that are going to be coming up a little bit later in the year, the possibility people are looking for a possible blue tsunami, blue wave to come and sweep in. I'm sort of not holding my breath. I think we'll wait on the results to see that one. But certainly people are expecting we might be seeing possibly a Democratic majority in both the House and the Senate. You mentioned the possibility of impeachment there if there are Democrats, but as a political advisor, impeachment in the United States is not particularly popular amongst voters, and the Democrats, might they be wise in 2018, even if they had the majority and the ability to do this, be wiser to keep Donald Trump up there as a continuing divisive figure, even amongst conservative and Republican voters? You know, you might get more swing voters by having Donald Trump doing his usual thing in the big chair than you might have if you impeach him and put somebody in there. Mike Pence, I think he's a very scary individual personally, but he might come off as a little bit more reasonable. Might you have a better chance of just leaving Donald Trump to do what he does until 2020?
Well, my sense is that everything that comes from an impeachment process, talk about impeachment not being popular. I'd actually disagree with that. I think in 1997-98, with the Clinton impeachment, I agree with you, but in 73-74, particularly in 74, the Nixon impeachment was actually very popular indeed, and that is exactly why Richard Nixon resigned in August 1974. I think you make a very good point, Sean, about the politics of this, and my sense is with midterms that I don't think that the Democrats will win a majority in the Senate. The thing about seats in both houses is in American politics, they tend to be very sticky. Once you actually win them, you can hold on to them for a very long time indeed. And as we saw in New York last week, the only people who can roll you are your own party. But my sense is they don't. On paper, they only need, I think it's 23 seats in the House of Representatives to get control of the Democrats. But I can't necessarily see that happening. And given that Donald Trump's approval ratings have been edging up over the last 6 months or so, and particularly with the state of the U.S. economy being so good, and the fact that those red state voters in the flyover states are still pretty well rusted onto Trump. I mean, he's got a very high approval rating amongst Republicans. My personal sense is that Democrats would be better to bide their time if they happen to win one or both houses in 2018, great, but 2020 is what they should be aiming at, particularly in making sure that this time around they have a strong candidate for president, because whatever you say about Hillary Clinton, the reason that Donald Trump is president today is because, relatively speaking, she was such a weak candidate and so flawed herself.
Terry, absolute pleasure to get you on the program. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks, Sean.